KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a news roundup day today on Crosstalk. We thank you for joining us here on the VCY America network. A full program, lots of news, events, and issues taking place across this nation and around the world. And as we have so often said, it is imperative that we be praying for our nation, that we certainly are committing this nation before God in prayer, praying for our leaders, be praying for Supreme Court members, be praying for those who represent us, whether there's an R behind their name or a D behind their name. We are a nation in need of Christ, and that is the bottom line. That is the solution. It is not what party has majority. It is certainly that the solution lies in Jesus Christ and surrendering to Him and the importance of getting out the gospel message. It's only the gospel that will change men's hearts and lives. We're going to cover a number of issues here today that will certainly be impactful again to help us understand the need for us to be salt and light here across our nation. We're going to be starting with the coronavirus. Interesting story from the Washington Times this week. The number of Americans dying from COVID-19 has been falling for weeks, a case the White House is making as it points out that the U.S. fatality rate is well below that of the Europe's biggest countries. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany told reporters Monday that the fatality rate, the ratio between confirmed deaths and confirmed cases, is well below that of France, the United Kingdom, and Germany, saying that the president is not downplaying the severity of the virus. What the president is noting is that at the height of this pandemic, we were 2,500 deaths per day. We are now at a place where on July 4th, there were 254. That's a tenfold decrease in mortality. CBN is reporting 650 cases out of 3 million in the New York Times falsely is accusing churches as a major source of COVID-19. After finding 40 churches connected to around 650 cases of the coronavirus, the New York Times is calling Sunday worship services a major source of COVID-19 cases. The virus has infiltrated Sunday sermons, meetings of ministers, and Christian youth camps in Colorado, Missouri, reads the Times piece. It has struck churches that reopened cautiously with face masks and social distancing in the pews, as well as some that defied lockdowns and refused to heed new limits on numbers of worshipers. Herschel York, dean of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary's School of Theology and pastor of Buck Run Baptist Church in Frankfort, Kentucky, asked how many thousands of churches are meeting now, and the Times finds 650 cases linked to only 40 religious institutions, and that's a major source. He then asked about the press' apparent relentless obsession with churches. Interesting commentary there indeed. Let's go to LifeNews.com. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's order sent more than 6,300 coronavirus patients to nursing homes at the height of the pandemic, new numbers from state officials show. Thousands of elderly coronavirus patients died after Cuomo issued an order March 25th mandating assisted living facilities admit COVID patients, and state officials are now reporting that the number of admitted carriers is even higher than previous estimates. More than 20,000 nursing home staffers were infected in March and April, the AP reported. Cuomo retracted the order May 10th after he was criticized for causing New York's high death rate in nursing homes. Cuomo has repeatedly blamed the federal government, blamed President Trump for the death rate in the nursing homes, even though it's he that has sent COVID patients to them. WND.com, interesting story asking the question if herd immunity has been achieved in the Brooklyn Jewish community. Nearly 4 months after the coronavirus arrived in Brooklyn's Hasidic Jewish community, synagogues and camps are open, yeshivas resume, classes before closing for summer break, and wedding halls packed again, sometimes in violation of city and state rules. A relief came after months of funerals and fear, along with criticism from New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and others, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency reported. Now the overwhelming belief is that the community is that most of its members have had the virus, recovered, and now may be immune. That's the feeling that they've had it. Everybody knows that they've had it, and the people they know who haven't had it have some kind of immunity that we just don't understand yet, one local health administrator said. Surveys and tests suggest as many as 70% of the community has had COVID-19 and recovered. Amid a near total return to normal behavior, new cases have slowed or stopped entirely in their neighborhood, JTA reported. Also here in conclusion, the true rate is impossible to know without random testing, but if their estimates are correct, the community is within the range that scientists say is likely to confer herd immunity. From FoxNews.com, Inglewood, Colorado, just outside of Denver, is requiring all citizens to wear face masks as coronavirus cases are on the rise. Violators have the right to a trial but could face a year in prison or a $2,600 fine. I thought we were emptying the prisons due to the fear of COVID. Now we're trying to fill them back up with people who don't wear masks. The emergency order was issued by City Manager J. Sean Lewis and approved by the City Council Monday, detailing that everyone over the age of 6 years old will be required to wear a mask when outside their homes. There's lots of other provisions. But folks, this is amazing. I mean, we emptied prisons. We've got crime running rampant from many who have gone to recommit crimes on the streets. They're arrested, let go again, arrested, let go again, arrested, let go again. It's happened in city after city. But no, we're going to fill the prisons up with people for not wearing masks. Western Journal reporting is political forces in the U.S. push for strict mask mandates to fight the spread of the coronavirus. New guidance issued by the World Health Organization undermines the left's claim that people must be forced to wear the protective equipment in public. The World Health Organization posted the updated recommendations in a tweet here just recently. And I've got a copy of that tweet, and it's, can people wear masks while exercising? And some of these communities are requiring masks as you're exercising. But the World Health Organization now saying that people should not wear masks when exercising, as masks may reduce the ability to breathe comfortably. Sweat can make the mask become wet more quickly, which makes it difficult to breathe and promotes the growth of microorganisms. The important preventive measure during exercise is to maintain physical distance of at least 1 meter from others. That's a tweet sent out by the World Health Organization. Can we get our information straight? Daily Wire is reporting far-left activists burned an American flag near the White House Saturday evening as the nation celebrated its 244th birthday. Town Hall reporter Julio Rosas captured the anti-American display, writing on Twitter, quote, "Protesters outside the White House have now set a big American flag on fire while chanting, 'America was never great.'" From the Daily Wire, vandals have cut down a flagpole at a memorial in a village outside of New York City that honored five local firefighters who died in the September 11th terrorist attacks. The vandalism in Washingtonville was discovered early Wednesday, according to the Times Herald Record. Washington Police Chief Brian Zaccaro told the newspaper that vandals cut the flagpole about 4 to 5 feet before its base toppling it. Again, this is a memorial. It was a memorial flagpole honoring five local firefighters who died on September 11th during the terrorist attacks upon America. Townhall.com reporting protesters celebrated 4th of July Saturday, tearing down the statue of Christopher Columbus in Baltimore, Maryland. Once the statue was down, the protesters tossed it into the inner harbor. The move comes after lawmakers in the city have contemplated how to handle the statue. Baltimore City Councilman Ryan Dorsey introduced legislation that would rededicate the monument. He wanted to rename the monument People Violence Victims Monument. Members of the Maryland House of Delegates and Senate, however, wanted to see the statues and monuments preserved and protected, but protesters made the decision for them. And FoxNews.com reporting Nancy Pelosi yesterday declined to admonish the protesters of Baltimore who pulled down this Columbus statue and then tossed it into the harbor. And her response was this: people will do what they do. People will do what they do. Baltimore Mayor Bernard C. Jack Young, however, had harsh words for the protesters who destroyed the statue near Little Italy over the 4th, saying he wouldn't tolerate the destruction of property. He said the toppling was unacceptable, and the perpetrators, if identified, will be brought to justice, the Baltimore Sun reported. But Nancy Pelosi says people will do what they do. Well, they did it also in Atlanta. As Western Journal reports, a Black Lives Matter protest in Atlanta turned tragic Saturday night when an 8-year-old girl was shot and killed by demonstrators. An 8-year-old girl shot near the Wendy's restaurant where Rayshard Brooks was killed during a police skirmish June the 12th. The restaurant, which was burned by protesters, been occupied by demonstrators in recent weeks. The girl was riding in the car with her mom and a friend of her mother's when they sought to turn into a parking lot, and they were blocked by protesters. At some point, someone in that group opened fire on the vehicle, striking it multiple times, striking the child who was inside. The girl's father said, "They say Black Lives Matter. You killed your own. You killed your own this time. You killed a child. She didn't do nothing to nobody." Western Journal reporting former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick has signed with ESPN's parent, the Walt Disney Company, to create content about his political activism, according to a news release Monday. Kaepernick, who began kneeling during the national anthem in 2016 while he was with the 49ers, will pair with Black Lives Matter activist and former ESPN host Jemele Hill across multiple Disney platforms to create content exploring the quest for equity. Daily Signal reporting some of America's largest corporations have pledged or donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to the main Black Lives Matter organization founded by trained Marxists. That's their words. They have said that we are trained Marxists, that calls for replacing the nuclear family with a village. Prominent brands giving money included Amazon, Microsoft, Nabisco, Gatorade, Airbnb, The Atlantic, and Warner of Record Labels. The Daily Signal previously reported that the website for Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation notes that replacing the nuclear family structure and promoting the LGBT political agenda are central to its mission. A co-founder also has said that she and other trained Marxists formed the Network Foundation. CNN, according to Daily Wire here, now joining Twitter in calling for the removal of allegedly racist words and phrases in the English language. CNN's list, however, includes many terms that have no connection to slavery, yet the news outlet suggests removing them from everyday use. For example, the first item in CNN's article about allegedly racist terms is master bedrooms, master bathrooms, yet it admits that the phrase first appeared in 1926, more than 60 years after slavery was abolished in the U.S. The outlet does the same thing for the Masters Tournament, the golf tournament for masters, meaning the best players in the sport. That name originated in 1934, long after slavery was abolished. CNN, like Twitter, called for an end to the terms blacklist and whitelist, which are used in the tech industry. Similar acknowledgments are made for terms like blackball or black mark. The outlet also lists some phrases that are not racist themselves, but derived from racist points in history, like the grandfather clause and others. How far is this going to go? The bottom has no end here, folks. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution ever go backwards or reverse itself?
Chris, I don't think evolution occurs at all. God created each basic category of life. They may have varied, but this is not evolution. For evolution, you have to have new genes, new traits, new body parts, not just variety of the old. Sometimes evolutionists claim that evolution reverses itself and goes backwards. For instance, some are now claiming that the chimps, which are basically tree dwellers, descended from a missing link which walked upright, therefore backwards evolution. Chris, I think this is just as wrong as evolution in general is wrong. The evidence supports the biblical truth that man and apes are separate. There's variety among both, but they did not have a common ancestor. And that's just what we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
listening to Crosstalk, and it's a news roundup day today here on the program to keep you informed on critical matters that are affecting us all across this nation, to understand the tide of our times and to understand the matters taking place here across this nation, the mindset behind them. And certainly we see that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We see that so prevalent in Scripture. The depravity of mankind is so ever before us. We're going to continue with a number of topics here today on Crosstalk. By the way, the Tennessee Star reporting that University of Memphis recently announced that football players will wear helmets with a Black Lives Matter sticker for every game during the upcoming season. Here's out of the Daily Wire, law enforcement officials in California charged a man and woman with a hate crime Tuesday. What did they do? Well, they allegedly painted over Black Lives Matter mural that was painted on a public street. The Contra Costa County District Attorney's Office announced that the two, Nicole Anderson and David Nelson, being charged with three misdemeanor counts, including a hate crime for the incident, which allegedly happened this past Saturday. WorldNet Daily reporting a statue of the iconic black abolitionist Frederick Douglass, who was born in slavery, toppled on the anniversary of his famous 1852 speech, chastising America for not living up to the values upon which it was founded. Police in Rochester, New York, where Douglass is buried, said the statue was left about 50 feet from its pedestal, reported the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. The site of the statue also included parts of the famed Underground Railroad, railroad that is, where Douglass and Harriet Tubman and others helped slaves gain freedom. Among the other memorials to the anti-slavery movement that have been vandalized since Memorial Day are the Shaw Memorial in Boston, honoring the first black volunteer infantry unit, and the statue in Philadelphia of the abolitionist Matthias Baldwin. The NewAmerican.com reporting as the federal government faces yet another potential fiscal shutdown September 30th. House Democrats released spending bills Monday that would put them clearly at odds with the Senate and President Trump. Among the unreasonable demands in the plan is a requirement that certain statues of Southern politicians and any Confederate statue remaining in the Capitol be removed and returned to the states that donated them. Since passing budgets is apparently now a thing of the past in Washington, the federal government relies on these continuing resolutions, that's appropriation bills, set aside money for government agencies and departments and programs. Well, the current continuing resolution is to expire September 30th. So with the general election November 3rd, guess what, folks? Likely chaos coming to our nation, because less than 5 weeks from that deadline, we have this continuing resolution that expires. And there's a joint committee in the library dated June 10th. Nancy Pelosi argued that the 11 statues in question are plainly racist, are a grotesque affront to American ideals. Now, how long has she been speaker? Not just now, but before. How long has she been in Congress? And now, all of a sudden, that there is bias by having these statues in the Capitol? She said, "Well, I believe it's imperative that we never forget our history lest we repeat it. I also believe there is no room for celebrating the violent bigotry of the men of the Confederacy in the hallowed halls of the U.S. Capitol or in places of honor across the country," she wrote. The Daily Signal telling us Jackson, Mississippi City Council Tuesday voted 5-1 to remove and relocate a statue of 19th century President Andrew Jackson, for whom the state capitol is named. Have to remove him from the city building, according to the Clarion Ledger. The lone Republican on the city council voted to keep the city's namesake statue. Western Journal reporting an Ohio police officer uttered his last words to dispatchers after he was shot just after midnight on Saturday. "Tell my family I love them," Toledo police officer Anthony Diaz said, according to a Scranton transcript of the call. He was shot and killed, 26 years old he is, after responding to a report of a drunken man in a Home Depot parking lot. He was shot once with a handgun after he tried to make contact with the unruly suspect, according to a Toledo Police Department news release. He said, "Tell my family I love them," according to the transcript of the conversation. He bled out, pretty much. They did what they could with life-saving measures, but there was nothing they could do. Jamie Dia, the officer's wife of 8 years, told the Toledo Blade. Why don't they play this on network news over and over and over and over again? Western Journal reporting, Alabama Representative Mo Brooks calling for an investigation alleging that U.S. Army officials at North Alabama's Redstone Arsenal might have used federal resources to distribute racist and partisan political propaganda. Brooks' complaint stems from a handout passed out to uniformed and civilian workers on the base, which inferred that President Trump's 2016 campaign slogan, Make America Great Again, is an example of socially acceptable covert white supremacy. The Military Times reported the handout is from a so-called U.S. Army Project Inclusion listening tour handout, which was given to contractors and servicemen and women at the base. Among what it describes as more subtle examples of white supremacy are phrases like All Lives Matter and Make America Great Again. Celebrating Columbus Day was also listed as a covert racist action by whoever authored and distributed the handout. Incidentally, WND reporting that one of the anti-Trump protesters who tried to disrupt the president's July 3rd speech in Mount Rushmore, facing several misdemeanor charges, two felony counts that could net him more than a decade in prison. Western Journal reporting, one day after President Trump vowed to protect monuments honoring the country's most enduring leaders in an Independence Day speech, someone targeted a sculpture of First Lady Melania Trump in her home country of Slovenia. Reuters reported a life-size sculpture honoring the country's European-born First Lady was set on fire, leaving the wooden figure charred and disfigured. It was removed by local authorities the following day. CNN Tonight host Don Lemon said Monday that Jesus Christ admittedly was not perfect when he was discussing the removal of public monuments with CNN host Chris Cuomo. Lemon and Cuomo were discussing the recent push to take down statues and monuments, especially those dedicated to the Confederacy. However, statues of founding fathers, abolitionists, and religious figures have been also taken down without any pushback from Democratic politicians. But this is CNN. Listen to Don Lemon as he says Jesus Christ admittedly was not perfect. Here's what he had to say.
But here's the thing. Jesus Christ, if that's who you believe in, Jesus Christ, admittedly, was not perfect when he was here on this earth. So why are we deifying the founders of this country, many of whom owned slaves? And in the Constitution, the original one, they didn't want they put slavery in there that slavery should be abolished because it was the way the king wanted. And then the Congress said no way, and so they had to come up with an alternative about 3/5 of a man.
Well,
they knew.
They knew so, that they had an inconsistency with
their
logic.
So
all
they're not
men
perfect.
Are created equal.
They're not
except
perfect.
These men.
We have to stop deifying them. And so yes, they did some great things, and they created a Constitution and a blueprint for us. That wasn't perfect at the time, and that's good, but they weren't perfect either.
Well, so why was Jesus Christ brought into this and saying admittedly was not perfect? Jesus Christ indeed is the perfect Son of God. The Christian Post reporting an atheist group calls itself the Satanic Temple has threatened to sue Mississippi if it decides to add the national motto In God We Trust to the flag. Recently, Republican Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves signed into law to change the state flag in order to remove the Confederate battle flag, which has long been on the banner. According to the approved legislation, House Bill 1796, the new design for the state flag cannot include the Confederate banner, but it will require In God We Trust, the Satanic Temple threatening to sue Mississippi if they do exactly that. From CBN, the U.S. Navy has revised its policies that prohibited active service members from attending in-person religious services. That change comes just days after First Liberty Institute, a nonprofit religious liberty law firm, sent a letter on behalf of some active duty officer and several other members that were affected by this. Mike Berry, who is the general counsel for First Liberty, said this is a major victory for the Constitution and for religious freedom within our military. Seattle Times reporting a majority of city council members in Seattle are now saying they agree with a high-level proposal by advocates to defund the police department in Seattle by 50%, and reallocate the dollars to other community needs. Decriminalize Seattle and King County Equity Now laid out a four-point proposal for defunding the police department, including removing Seattle's 911 dispatchers from police control, scaling up community-based solutions to public safety, funding a community-led process to imagine life beyond policing. Imagine that, folks. Imagine it. And then also to invest in affordable housing. Yep, that's going to take care of all the crime problems. The aim is defunding the Seattle Police Department, building a world where we can trust and believe in community to provide the safety that we need. Haven't we seen the community at work here across this nation? I'm not talking about a skin color. I'm talking about people who have taken the law into their own hands. We've seen what's happened in some of these villages like CHOP and others. Decriminalized Seattle's Jackie Vaughn said at a news conference on Thursday. At this news conference, defunding advocates said community organizations and practitioners with adequate resources can protect Seattle residents better than the police department in many instances. You need help? Call a community organizer. Well, folks, it's not only that, but we're finding in Western Journal as well that Philadelphia Black Lives Matter organizer and activist, though she does not represent the whole organization, however, is a gave an interview calling for the abolition of not only police, but the abolition of American military bases not on our soil. There are those who have been advocating the getting rid of our border patrol agents, cutting funding for our border patrol. Just have open borders. A Western Journal pointing out that the U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers seized more than $11 million worth of meth entering Texas. Officials confirmed Tuesday. During X-ray and canine inspections last Friday, officers intercepted the meth from a vehicle driving in Laredo, according to Laredo Morning Times. Those drugs will reach Main Street. Actually, the quote from the port director, Gregory Alvarez, said, "These drugs will not reach Main Street, USA, due to the efforts of the officers in our cargo facilities." Representative Ilhan Omar is calling for the complete dismantling of the American way of life that she describes as being a system of oppression. She spoke Tuesday in Minnesota alongside the Minnesota People of Color and Indigenous Caucus. Omar ripped into the United States as a predatory entity that targets minorities.
As long as our economy and political systems prioritize profit without considering who is profiting, who is being shut out, we will perpetuate this inequality. So we cannot stop at criminal justice system. We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it.
Indeed, dismantling the whole system. WND.com reporting a prominent Democratic activist says his party and its presumptive presidential nominee must knock down President Trump's last line of defense, the economy. Bradley Baychuk, a co-founder and Democratic super PAC American Bridge 21st Century, wrote in a USA Today opinion column that Democrats must show voters that Trump's handling of COVID-19 led to the recession and economic devastation in their local communities, saying if we want to ensure Trump does not win a second term, we need to cut off the last leg of his reelection bid. It's the economy, Democrats, saying their goal is weakening Trump's standing on economic issues by relentlessly attacking his egregious record and hammering home the fact that his disastrous leadership has led us into a recession. Back with more after the break.
This month marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of Robert Sheffy. Sheffy, an itinerant circuit-riding preacher, committed to proclaiming the gospel to the mountain folk in the eastern U.S. To mark this milestone, Unusual Films is releasing a restored, high-definition edition of the powerful film, Sheffy. And this month, VCY is making it available to a whole new generation. This offer includes both Blu-ray and DVD, and even a digital download. Also included the public showing rights, enabling the church and schools that own a copy to show it publicly. This month only, VCY is offering one combo pack for a donation of $15 and additional packs for a donation of just $10 more. You can also obtain 10 sets for a donation of just $75. Call 1-800-729-9829. This offer ends July 31st. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And, yes, just a quick reminder that we are still, through our app, the VCY America app, making Sheffy available. That's, I believe, through July 19th. And so to see it through our app, you can just download the app, VCY America. And you can see this, and just a reminder that is through this month that we have the special reduced offering here of Sheffy on DVD, single copies, multiple copies. The details at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or 1-800-729-9829, 1-800-729-9829. And our team here is getting those orders out in the mail as nearly as quick as they come in. Matter of fact, all of orders through yesterday are set to go out through today's mail. So we just appreciate the quick return and servicing you in that regard, but certainly a great film. Let's move on to the newamerican.com. Squad members, representatives Rashida Tlaib and Presley, would enact a radical transformation of law enforcement in America, eliminating life sentences, expunging drug crimes retroactively, and permanently closing prisons and immigration detention centers, among other changes. It's known as the BREATHE Act. It's a bill that's an expression of the left's now indiscreet agenda for America, which involves completely abolishing police departments. But the bill doesn't stop at uprooting the criminal justice system, the system that is. After ending gang databases, shutting down multiple government agencies, it would create pilot programs for universal basic income and give voting rights and lifetime education to all illegal aliens and incarcerated criminals. The BREATHE Act also has its own website, which it calls the bill presented by the Electoral Justice Project of the Movement for Black Lives, a coalition of more than 150 Black Lives Matter aligned organizations. London's Metropolitan Police Service, Breitbart reports, is currently hiring so-called racism spotters to examine whether prospective police officers are prejudiced, as the city's leftist mayor, Sadiq Khan, prepares to cut the budget of actual police. Recent advertisements from the Cressida Dick-led Metropolitan Police promoting 50 open racism spotter positions, with those hired to work for at least 25 days per year. LifeSiteNews.com, the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling this week against forcing religious entities to subsidize birth control represented a partial blow to former President Barack Obama's signature policy achievement, Obamacare. And now Obama's former running mate and current Democratic presidential nominee, former Vice President Joe Biden, is pledging to restore it. Here's a quote. He's saying, as disappointing as the Supreme Court's ruling is, there is a clear path to fixing it, electing a new president who will end Donald Trump's ceaseless attempts to gut every aspect of the Affordable Care Act, Biden declared following the ruling. LifeNews.com also reporting, President Trump has officially ended America's relationship with the World Health Organization, the international agency that botched its response to coronavirus, who has been accused of lying to the world about the COVID-19, has come under fire for saying killing babies and abortions is somehow an essential procedure as the world deals with the pandemic. President Trump said the relationship between the U.S. and the World Health Organization has ended. The president said China, which has pushed a forced abortion population control policy on its people for decades and killed more babies and abortions than any other nation, has control over the controversial agency. Because they have failed to make the requested and greatly needed reforms, we will be today terminating our relationship with the World Health Organization and redirecting those funds to other worldwide and deserving urgent global public health needs, President Trump said. Oh, but tweeting from his basement, Joe Biden has said that he is going to restore funding to the World Health Organization. And he also tweeted out, quote from PJ Media, "We're going to beat Donald Trump, and when we do, we won't just rebuild this nation, we'll transform it." Looking at the newamerican.com, two Washington insiders are working to cancel the upcoming presidential debates between Donald Trump and presumptive candidate Joe Biden. Thomas Friedman of the New York Times and Karen Tumulty of the Washington Post have written articles either proposing conditions on the debates that are unacceptable to the Trump campaign or proposing phony reasons for canceling the debates altogether. As we often have reminded you to be praying for the persecuted church, WND.com reporting China's communist government warning elderly Christians that they will lose basic benefits if they do not stop practicing their faith. Bitter Winter, the online magazine about religious liberty, human rights in China, reports that the Communist Party is threatening to take away the last means of survival from elderly believers, the government benefits of housing, food, clothing, medical care, and funeral expenses. Christian Post reporting at least a dozen Christians in Iran were reportedly arrested, some of whom were allegedly beaten by Revolutionary Guard intelligence officers in three cities, according to Human Rights Monitoring Group. Article 18, a London-based nonprofit that promotes religious freedom and tolerance for Christians in Iran, reported along with the 12 Christians who were arrested, dozens of others were forced to provide their contact details for future questioning, they noted. Also from ChristianNews.net, tribal Hindus persecuted a widowed Christian mother of four before her body was found severely mutilated in the wilderness near her village in India. 40 years old, initially unrecognizable as it appears to have been eaten by wild animals, the death threats, the depriving of water, the shunning she had suffered at the hands of villagers who were upset that she left her blend of Hindu and traditional tribal rituals led family members and area Christian leaders to believe that she was raped and killed before the animals fed on her body, they said. Would you remember to be praying for the persecuted church? Breaking Israel news, telling us that Canadian lawmaker Aaron O'Toole said Wednesday that he would move his country's embassy in Israel to Jerusalem if he were elected the next prime minister of Canada. Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the Jewish people, and the modern presence there just cements this. The Knesset, the Supreme Court, and foreign ministry are all in West Jerusalem, O'Toole said in a video posted on Facebook. He's a member of Canada's Conservative Party, also said he would expand relations with Israel. Breaking Israel News also reporting a record number of flights are being booked for Jews worldwide to move to Israel. The announcement comes in the wake of an unprecedented spike in interest from North American Jews to move to Israel. One organization saying they have the highest number of applications in May since their founding in 2002. India Today reporting Scotland set to become the world's first nation which will teach LGBTQ history in schools from next year onwards to tackle discrimination and homophobia. That means that all government school students would be mandatorily receiving classes on the problems faced by the LGBT plus community and on equality. Classes would also teach children how to tackle homophobia, biphobia, and transphobia. OneNewsNow.com reporting a conservative organization in liberal-run California keeping a close eye on controversial legislation introduced by a homosexual state assemblyman, Senate Bill 145, introduced by Senator Scott Wiener to change current state law that requires convicted sex offenders to register if they harmed a person of the same sex, such as a homosexual man who assaulted a teen. California law currently gives judges discretion whether someone in the heterosexual encounter with a minor must register as an offender. Homosexuals are required to do so. Arthur Schaefer, a spokesman for Mass Resistance, says that the senator openly pushing for the state to drop the requirement is nothing short of shocking. The statistics are just astonishing, he said. How much promiscuity there is, not just among homosexual populations in general, but how they target minors, he said to OneNewsNow.com. Senate Bill 145 is basically pedophile amnesty, or basically sex offender amnesty. Here in the Wisconsin LGBT Chamber of Commerce announced that North Shore Bank has joined the chamber as its newest gold member, saying, as a community bank, we pride ourselves on being advocates for our customers and our neighbors, said Susan Doyle, Senior Vice President of Retail Banking at North Shore Bank. Joining the Wisconsin LGBT Chamber is an extraordinary way for us to carry on that mission, and that we're looking forward to a strong partnership helping support LGBT and allied individuals and businesses thrive, grow, and flourish. Coming from WCBU.org in Illinois, Illinois, this coming school year, districts will be expected to provide information on LGBTQ figures in history before students can graduate eighth grade. State Representative Anna Moeller, an Elgin Democrat, says she believes the addition is positive for all students. Information is also required to be included in a one-year high school class. Illinois, now the fifth state to require teaching about LGBTQ figures. House Democrats making another attempt to undo the Trump administration's ban on foreign aid to pro-abortion organizations, reports LifeSiteNews.com, this time with language that would make international abortion funding permanent. This is Representative Nita Lowies, of New York. Global HER Act contains language that would permanently repeal the Mexico City policy. Committee Democrats are also calling for $750 million in funding for the pro-abortion United Nations Population Fund. And let's see, right now in Florida, reports LifeNews.com, abortion advocacy groups are working to undermine a new parental consent law that requires an underage girl to have at least one parent's consent before she goes through with an abortion. Governor Ron DeSantis signed the law last week. This week, the Floridians for Reproductive Freedom has a new website set up to help young girls get secret abortions without their parents' knowledge or consent. WFLA News 8 reports that the abortion agency groups aim to help young girls get judicial bypass if they feel they cannot do or if they do not want to tell their parents. Let's open some phone lines here today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, I know I've covered a lot. I still have more here, but we'd like to open up our phone lines as well. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these stories or other current event issues, 800-733-9829. A pro-life billboard in New Zealand has some Black Lives Matter activists upset because it uses the phrase "both lives matter" in reference to a mother and her unborn baby. News Hub reports that the Black Lives Matter activists claim pro-lifers wrongly borrowed language from their own campaign. The billboard displays the phrase "both lives matter" along with an image of a mother, a pregnant mother, an expectant mother holding an ultrasound photo of her unborn baby against her stomach. Under the image is the pro-life organization's website and the phrase "both deserve better than an extreme abortion law." We're going to squeeze one call in here before the break. Mark and Monroe, you're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is this. I think we need to keep Nancy Pelosi from doing what Nancy Pelosi keeps doing. Her lawless position for our rule of law is, in my opinion, a treasonous attempt to undermine our U.S. Constitution. She had the audacity to insinuate Donald Trump that nobody's above the law. My suggestion for the problem is instead of a COVID-19 mask, I think a muzzle would be more appropriate to keep her from putting out the outbreak of lies in order to protect the future of the United States. That's my comment.
Thank you, Mark, for calling. We'll be taking a quick break. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. Again, our call-in number, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Well, for several years, we've been warning about the rise of anti-Semitism. And a few weeks ago, on my radio broadcast, I warned that the street riots and the Black Lives Matter riots would eventually turn toward anti-Semitism. And indeed they have. In fact, there's video now of pro-Palestinian Black Lives Matter rallies in the U.S. calling for death to Israel and death to America. So how did we know this was coming? Because Black Lives Matter, an official organization backed by three founders who have communist roots and one of them mentored by a Weather Underground individual, have openly joined BDS, Boycott, Divestment, Sanction. It's really anti-Semitism against Israel. It's really the repeat of Kristallnacht, the night of the broken glass that kicked off the Holocaust by calling for boycotting Jewish businesses. So it's not hard to realize that the Marxist and the Islamist and the Red-Green Axis are united through Black Lives Matter.
It's
the News Roundup Day today, but your opportunity to comment on these or other current event stories at 800-733-9829. Let's go to Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment that Jesus said, the truth will set you free. But somewhere along the line, we've got the idea that vote for me and I'll set you free. Not everybody in the world is able to vote, but we do have the right. It's a privilege to choose right. So we need to learn what right and wrong is and start making that decision.
Yeah, we have to have a standard. We need to have an authority, and Scripture lays it out well for us. Thank you, George. We've got Sharon from California. You're on the air, Sharon.
Yes, good afternoon. I have, it's kind of a facetious question, but the individuals involved in Black Lives Matter, if they are so bent on tearing down any semblance of representation of slavery, when are they going to start tearing down and getting rid of all of the southern states that were slave states?
It's an interesting question. And further, when will they rise up against Planned Parenthood? Knowing its founder, Margaret Sanger, was a eugenist. She was a racist. Her quotes are, you put in on a search engine, Margaret Sanger, racist. It's amazing, the founding of Planned Parenthood in that regard. And as a recent guest pointed out, why is it that so many Planned Parenthood facilities are in minority-based neighborhoods? Very interesting
exactly.
question. Thank you, Sharon.
I'd like to say one more thing, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I have been praying that pastors would incite their congregants to be in prayer and fasting. The left is fighting, and we can fight, too, on our knees. That's the best weapon that we have. And a lot has happened. A lot of change has happened in this country when there have been instituted periods of prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
So that is what I'm praying. I pray that you guys will join with me in that prayer.
Thank you, Sharon. Lee is calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Great program, as always. You mentioned the comment about...
Hello, Lee. Hello, Lee. We lost Lee. You got disconnected from Lee. Let's go to Rich in Burlington. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Sometimes we could tend to be kind of negative, but I just think we could all agree with Nancy Pelosi, probably the most factually correct thing I've ever heard her say when she said, people will do what people do. Mm-hmm. I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Jerry in Monticello, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Hey, yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about the LGBTQ classes and schools and things. And even here in Kentucky, my little six-year-old nephew, they asked him when he went to kindergarten if he felt like he was a boy or a girl. And I just wanted to encourage all the parents out there, if they can, get their kids in a Christian school. And I know even my brother and sister-in-laws have started homeschooling their kids, but I just wanted to thank you for everything that you do. God bless you.
Great. Thank you, Jerry, for your call. Interesting story came out on that issue, even from LifeSiteNews.com. In North Carolina, the government website crashed due to an influx of parents trying to file for homeschooling. The increasing willingness of parents in North Carolina to homeschool their children has led to an online system for filing a notice of intent to establish a homeschool being temporarily overwhelmed. This was earlier, July 7th, the story came out saying the system is not currently available due to the overwhelming submission of notices of intent, the website explained, to visitors. Robert Borton, CEO of Classical Conversations, said that families are uncertain if the public schools will be able to serve their families' needs for school this fall. The pandemic schooling at home gave them the opportunity to see that they could homeschool, and now they're choosing to do it intentionally. Melanie is calling from Tennessee. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I was wanting to reference a call I heard from South Dakota earlier this week at the end of the Israel program. And you said, well, we're not talking about that today, but what it is, the young man that called in, I think Jerry was his name, he said that, are you aware of the reality of what happens when you talk about gay people the way we do about, you know, they can change and all this. And the reality is there's another mindset that they have. They have the mindset that what they do is who they are. But that's just behavior. And I'm pretty sure it's a learned behavior. And there is a power of God that will help these people to overcome the flesh and the lust of the flesh, as quoted in Genesis. Mm-hmm. It's the three sins, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, there's an unjustified pride also. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. And indeed, one can change, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, such were some of you. Thank you for the call. Let's see, we've got Katie in Orlando. You're on the air. That's it. Kayla?
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kayla.
Kayla.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the whole LGBTQ new teachings and stuff you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's really, really important and amazing, and I think that there's a lot of kids that sort of struggle with their identity and to, like, feel that they're okay and they're accepted for who they are. It's really important and, like, you know, learning about that kind of stuff.
Well, Kayla, who we are is male or female. Certainly that's what scripture, that's how we are created. That's what our body is. We're biologically male. We're biologically female. And that's important that we teach a proper identification of science in this regard and not be science deniers. We need to understand that aspect.
I agree with that 100%. But I also agree that people have the right to express themselves they want, how they want, and, you know, be accepted for that and be validated.
Mm-hmm. I know, because there are people who are identifying as cats, people who identify as other animals. I believe they have the right, but do we want to take our school time to affirm that which is not accurate? And I think we get back to sound science in that regard as well. Not only sound science, but sound biblical morality. Thank you for the call. We have run out of time. The closing music is coming up. And friends, again, the importance of keeping our nation in prayer. We need to have a standard. That standard is Scripture. It is the Word of God. So often we see the winds of change blowing from one to another here across this land. But friends, Scripture does not change, and we need to hold to its truths. Thanks for listening. Have a blessed weekend. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.